it's more convenient for you to come on an alternate Sunday, perhaps not all the time, but once in a while, please make sure that you know that you are welcome to be here anytime. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. These days of COVID-19 restrictions have caused us to learn new things about ourselves. Like newborns who discover each day the wonder and beauty of the world. Or a student who takes a year to study in another country, exploring the customs of a culture different from their own. Our sense of self is defined by what we do and by the people around us. Organizations like Doctors Without Borders sends medical professionals into places where people are suffering without the necessary care and medicines that they need. And while the mission is to help and heal people who are our neighbors in the world, those who serve almost invariably say that they have been changed too. Such is the nature of allowing time and space and God's work through our hands to shape our identity. Perhaps you've taken up a new hobby with some of the free time that you found during these COVID days, or rediscovered something that you'd put in the corner. Are you a person that makes music? Do these days of fewer trips to the shopping centers and not as many people stopping by to say hi, does it give you some extra time to practice your instrument or maybe even take up a new one? We have a member of our congregation who's embarked on a new business, the food truck business. He's bought a truck and created the menu and even enlisted his kids to run the touchscreen payment device. Opportunities abound to discover and rediscover our identity. And while none of us would be glad to say that COVID has forced us to remain distanced from one another, we need not see this as wasted time or lost time. God is apt to show up in the middle of struggle and adversity, just showing us who we are for ourselves and for the sake of others. You've heard me mention that I lead a Bible study on Thursday afternoons at 1 o'clock via Zoom and Facebook Live. It's on the book of Acts in the New Testament. And part of what the book of Acts grapples with is the early church's understanding of Jesus' identity. Now, it wasn't necessarily a pandemic, although diseases and many troubles befell the people of the Roman Empire. But living in the Roman Empire during the first century was arguably not the easiest time in our history. Some people, like today, had it pretty good. Plenty of money, an ethnic background favorable to the whims of the masses, access to resources. But many, like today, struggled under the weight of an economic system set up to steal from the poor and give to the rich. Many, like today, wondered if the blessings of their grandparents and parents would not be able to trickle down to them or their children. And as the likes of Paul and Peter and Lydia, Priscilla, and Timothy preached the gospel of hope in Jesus' name, many struggled with what it meant to be alive. Some wondered if they were put on this earth to suffer and struggle. It was a time of identity uncertainty. Now, maybe you found a new hobby during these last months, or taken up a new business, or maybe you've struggled with your own sense of identity, wondering why you're alive to endure these uncertain times. The book of Acts and the whole New Testament really wrestles with the situation of people suffering by recognizing that Jesus' identity is wrapped up in suffering too. When Jesus asks his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" He's not had a case of sudden onset amnesia. He's not having a midlife crisis. Rather, he's expressing the emotional anxiety of a community in crisis. Jesus is allowing himself to wonder aloud about his identity as a way of helping others wonder about their identity too. In the case of this conversation with the disciples, Jesus asks them to answer the question, "What do other people say about me? And who do you think I am?" Whether they know it or not, the disciples are living in the middle of a crisis. What Jesus is doing is not just preaching and teaching, not just loving the crowds and feeding them and healing those who are sick. Jesus isn't just a really good person, as some people like to think, even today. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the one who will transform this world and the lives of every living thing upon it. Not just in his own time, but for all eternity and in every last corner of the globe and the cosmos. Jesus is the embodiment of salvation and the hope of everlasting life. Only Jesus knows that in order for all of these things to be, he must confront the suffering of our world and of our lives. And we are going to have to face it too. During these last several months, we've had to face the issues of our own suffering. For those who have contracted the COVID virus, that suffering has been unmistakable. For those whose loved ones have died alone, with no one to hold their hand as they take their last day labored breaths, that suffering has been excruciating. But even for those of us who have had to stay home or cancel plans to visit family or decline invitations to gather with family and friends, perhaps at a restaurant, COVID has been a struggle, and the struggle will continue. But Jesus asks us the question too. Who do you say that I am? And the unspoken in that question is another question. Who do you say that you are? What is your identity? What are you in the midst of this suffering? There's a TV series on Netflix that I've been watching along with my wife. She kind of drew me into it. I'm kind of a little sheepish to admit that I kind of like it. It's called Call the Midwife, and it follows the lives of several women who serve as midwives in London in the late 1950s and early 60s. They work out of an abbey affiliated with the Church of England, so some of them are nuns and others are professional young women who live and serve this mission as part of their burgeoning careers in nursing. Of course, the show takes us with these midwives as they assist in the labor and delivery of mothers giving birth. A transformative experience, if there ever was one. Pain is a principal theme in the show, not only as the mothers groan and cry and struggle to bring new life, but the social and economic situations that they suffer. The personal struggles of pained relationships and the despair of sometimes losing a pregnancy or even a child. While there's humor and laughter within the story for sure, it is fundamentally one of suffering, but suffering that reveals who these characters are, how they live, how they serve, how they love and pour out their lives for the sake of others. How they come to understand their own identity. The early church in the book of Acts tells us that suffering under the weight of empire is relieved and ultimately vindicated as we share the life and suffering of this one we claim as Messiah. There's a word for that shared suffering. It's compassion. The disciples who travel with Jesus to the cross and suffer for their own fears and despair will be given hope as they come to understand that compassion is the truth of Jesus' identity, a suffering and rising Messiah. And we in our day, in our own struggles and sufferings, be it the pain of COVID or any other trial and trouble that we endure, we who suffer and we who share the sufferings of others put our trust in the hope of Simon Peter's answer to Jesus' question. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. That is our identity. That is what makes us whole. That is what saves us for all time and eternity. But it's also today what comforts us and guides us through the midst of today's suffering, big and small, known and unknown. Our suffering, like a midwife crouched and contorted, reaching and sweating and bleeding with us. Our suffering is the pain that will bring us to new life in God. This is the story of our faith. Isaiah speaks of it when he reminds Israel that God's deliverance is swift and that salvation has gone out in a holy embrace from God. The psalmist rejoices that the waters have not overwhelmed us and our enemies have not devoured us as prey. Paul urges us to be living sacrifices to one another, giving ourselves for the needs of others, even sharing in their sufferings for the sake of the transformation God is birthing in and through each one of us. And with Jesus as our strength, and with our minds set not on what is cruel and unjust, or even aggravating or inconvenient, the church will prevail against the gates of Hades and every other struggle and pain and torment, and goodness and hope and life and love will be loosed in heaven and on earth. Amen.